We've been forgiven, and so we learn to forgive, right? Welcome. This is the last in this series that we're calling Forgiving. I'm hoping it's been beneficial. This has been the School of Forgiveness the last 4 weeks, all right? If you remember, a few weeks ago, we started on more of an experiential Sunday. We went through communion, we celebrated baptisms, and we learned and really focused on the idea that we have been forgiven, that Christ forgave us, and that is good news. Amen? That we have been forgiven. You can lower that a little bit. I know you're playing with the camera back there. Again, it's Tim Short Complex, so you can bring me just a little bit more. Thank you, guys. Now I can preach. All right, so that's what we learned about the first Sunday, is that we've been forgiven. Christ has forgiven us. And then we learned the last couple of weeks, then if we have been forgiven, we need to first of all live like it, right? Live into that forgiveness. Don't live with guilt. Don't live with shame. Don't live like when you live in Christ and you've asked for forgiveness, it's done. Like it's out of the books. Like you've been forgiven from Christ and from God. That's the good news, right? And then Nikki brought the message, which was a powerful message. Honestly, it's one of the most watched messages on our website right now. And she talked about the fact that forgiveness is both a decision and a process, right? You have to decide to do it, and then you have to start doing it. And it takes time. It can be a long journey for some of us to walk through forgiveness, because some of the things you've gone through have been horrific, have been super painful. And it's not like you can just go and be like, I forgive you, and then walk away and all the feelings, all the emotions, all the hurts are gone. That's not how it works, right? You go through this journey she gave that picture of tearing down a wall one brick at a time. So this situation and that circumstance, and you continue to walk through that journey of forgiveness. Then last week, Jim gave you a framework on how to do that, right? And if you know Pastor Jim, he loves his whiteboard, right? So like he had the picture up here, and he talked about wounds. When we suffer trauma in our life, it creates a wound, and then feelings. Those feelings lead to thoughts. Those thoughts lead to actions, right? And all the way to beliefs. It's how we live our life then, because of that wound. And we talked about the key in that process is starting to take your thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ, right? It's when those thoughts come because the emotions are there, we say, no, that isn't what Christ wants in my life. We take that thought captive, and we literally say, God, I'm giving you this, and I'm making this obedient to you, whatever that thought is. And so we start that journey, we start to release the power of that sin that happened against you, that trauma, that experience, and you can start that process. So if you haven't watched any of these messages, and you're really curious about forgiveness, start from the beginning and go back on our website, go to our YouTube channel, and go on that journey and figure out how to do that. So let me ask you a question. Who in here has ever messed up? Just show hands, just want to see. All right, welcome to New Hope. All right, we got some broken people in the house, in the hizzle. What's up? You know, so we all have broken stuff. I have broken stuff. I've done stupid things in my life. And I don't know if you've ever done anything like this. Has anybody ever bought a really stupid present for somebody else? Anybody done that, right? So we're at like holiday season, and I have a lovely wife. I mean, she is smart, she's brilliant, and she loves me, and she has grace for me, because there was one year I thought the most brilliant Christmas present idea, and we just talked about this earlier this week, was to get her a stereo or like a Bluetooth thing for the bathroom, because she likes to listen to music in the bathroom. And I have an idea, I know what I'm going to do. And so I got her that for Christmas, okay? And when I got it, it didn't work. And it wasn't the right thing, and it didn't fit, so I had to return it. But then I didn't get her anything else. And I think, I don't know if it's the next year, or it probably was the next year. I was so thoughtful, you know, and had a really great plan. I got her an alarm clock. Ladies are laughing in the house. Because I thought, you know, she mentioned an alarm clock, and she really liked this one alarm clock that shot the time up on the ceiling. Have you seen those before? It's like a little laser thing, boom, so that it's on. You don't have to bend over and look at your clock. You can just open your eyes, peek, and then nope, and go back to bed. I'm like, okay, it was a good thing to buy, not the best gift, okay? So I have had to ask for forgiveness for some bad gift giving. Anybody with me? We got anybody with? All right. I'm just not that good at it. I'm not that good at giving gifts. Some of you are like you blow my mind on how thoughtful and like personable each gift is, and it's wrapped in a certain way, and it's like, man, can we hire you? Can you start a business to help people be thoughtful? Because some of you are just really gifted at that, and that's awesome. But I've had to ask for forgiveness for some silly things like that, and sometimes we have to do that. Like, I'm sorry, you know, forgive me. I was trying to be thoughtful. Obviously, I wasn't, you know. But sometimes we have to ask for forgiveness because of really bad things we've done, ways we've really hurt people. And those are a little bit more tricky, right? That's not like a, well, they'll get over it kind of a thing. Like, when we go and we ask for forgiveness, we have to go to them and say, hey, I know I hurt you. I know I sinned against you. Will you forgive me? There's something that happens in that moment. Everybody, if you've ever done this before, you really, really want them to forgive you, don't you? You are hoping that they'll say, yes, I forgive you, right? We enjoy that part of the forgiveness process when we're the recipients, right? When we're the ones that, like, I've screwed up and I did something wrong, and they finally say, yes, I forgive you. And then what happens to you in that relationship? First off, you go, there's this sigh of relief, like, okay, I know we're not perfect, or this isn't perfect, but I know we can start now, and whatever this was, to go to a different place. And you feel the release of the guilt from that that you did, right? See, there's things that happen in us. Now here's the tension I want to start with, though. When we're wrapping up, and I'm going to be very practical teaching today. We're wrapping up with this. This is really how we're wired. Whenever we have to go ask for forgiveness, we expect to receive forgiveness from others. When we've done something wrong and we go and we say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? We expect them to say and receive that we would receive that forgiveness. We want that, don't we? So that's the hope we have, but we most of the time struggle giving forgiveness to others, right? We want it when we need it, forgiveness, but when somebody else needs it from us, now it's a little more difficult. Can I get an amen? Do y'all feel that tension? And so we're talking today, I'm going to talk about both sides of that coin, being the forgiver and being the forgiven, okay? And I'm going to be teaching you some very, very practical, like, nuts and bolts. There's a lot of fill in the blanks. You guys got your fill in the blanks? Okay, when Chelsea was putting the worship program together, like, we're like, how are we going to make this fit? I'm like, I don't know. It's a lot of stuff, but we're going into it. All right, here we go. So if your pens are going to be on fire writing stuff this morning. I want to start with this because we want to understand what does the scripture, and it all, everything we do around here comes back to the scriptures. This isn't just good ideas, it's God ideas. Like, what does the scripture say about forgiveness? How do we do this? What does this look like? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 17, Matthew, Mark, Luke. So in the New Testament, third book into the New Testament, the Gospels. And we see Jesus talking to his disciples, and he brings up this whole idea of somebody doing something horrific, and really how bad, you know, people can be. And then he challenges his disciples and says, now this is how you should respond. And that's what Jesus did a lot of times. He like turned things upside down. He'd be like, you think you heard it this way, but the kingdom of heaven's like this. And usually when he says that you heard it this way and it's like this, it's never a you heard it this way, we're gonna make it a lot easier for you. That's not how it ever went. It was, this is what you heard, now you're gonna hear really what you're supposed to do as a Christian, right? As a disciple, as a follower of Christ. And that's what he does in this passage in Luke. All right, so if you're with me, everybody say, yep. All right, Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. And so then Jesus is talking about that tension. He said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It's like, somebody's going to sideswipe you in life. It's just bound to come. It's bound to happen. Somebody's going to do something stupid, and they're going to do it against you or your family, right? And then he goes even deeper. He says, it would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Oh, snap, right? Like, that's one of those, like Jesus is, he's not pulling any punches now. He's like, whoever is out there trying to make people stumble, first off, this would be somebody, when I look in the Psalms, through the Psalms, you see like the fool, the simple, and the wise, right? This would be the fool. A fool is full of evil. They have evil intent. They're selfishly focused, right? He's like, if somebody's living in selfishness with evil intent, continually trying to bring people down, it would be better for them just to go drown themselves with a millstone. You know what a millstone is? A mill was that giant round stone that they would like grind the wheat on and all that stuff. We're not talking like a, you know, a little, like, he is pretty like powerful in his word picture here. It's like, it'd be better for anybody who continues to cause the little ones. And when he says little ones, it could be kids, I just think it's anybody. Anybody who's trying to follow Christ, it would be better for them to not be alive than to do that. Now, at this point, if you're the disciples and you're hearing this, you're kind of like, yeah, right? This is like a cheer on your coach kind of thing. Yeah, let's take them down, you know, kind of a thing. But then, now he says, but, and then he turns it onto the disciples. He's like, you don't want to be the one that causes people to stumble, is what he's saying. You don't want to be that person. We don't want to be that person, right? You shouldn't want to be that person. If you want to be that person, no, let's spend time with you and Jesus, okay? So he says, don't do that. So watch yourself. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. Now, if I stop there, you're like, yeah. Right? Like, if they sin against you, you go, let them have it. That's not what he's saying. Okay? Rebuke isn't like in your face, pointing in your face, spitting in your face. Like, that's not, that's what it sounds like. That's not what he's talking about. To rebuke is to show somebody's error. It's to let them know, listen, you're sinning in this way. It's not there for you to get revenge right away because you see them being stupid or they sinning against you. You're going to them saying, this is how you're sinning against me. Okay? Rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. So if you rebuke them, you say, you're sinning against me, and they say, I did not realize I was sinning against you. Will you forgive me? And there's an obedience step to the process. Forgive them. Okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 4, even if they sin against you seven times in a day, and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Oh, okay, now you're getting a little silly here, Jesus. I mean, I get the first time, but really? They're going to keep coming back and back and back and back, and they keep doing that stupid thing over, and they keep asking for forgiveness, they keep repenting. Are you serious? I got to do this. Are we cool with just seven? If it's eight, I'm done, right? If it's eight, I'm out. Like, he's like, that's not what he's saying, all right? I'll explain this as we go. You must forgive them. The apostle said, and this is a great response to the Lord, increase our faith. It's like, this is difficult teaching, Jesus. Help us understand this. Increase our faith on this one. Because it's hard when we have people who have evil intent or are harming others or us. How do we walk in forgiveness? How in the world do we live this out? And I think there's two parts to this idea of forgiveness that I want to pull out of Luke chapter 2 here, or Luke chapter 17, okay? And the first one is a position of forgiveness. We're called as Christians to live in a position of forgiveness, and the difference then between the action of forgiveness. There's two different things there. The position of forgiveness and the action of, the actual what happens in that moment of forgiveness when it's given and received, okay? Because we're called to be in both of those lands, is what Jesus is talking about in this chapter. He's saying, okay, woe to the person who who needs to be forgiven because they're being stupid. Like, if they continue to live that way and they never repent and they never turn away from it, and it's just like that's their life is going to be hard. It's going to be unfulfilling. They're going to be hurting everybody. They're going to have broken relationships. Like, nothing good comes to your life if that's the way you live your life at all. It says, woe to them. It's better not to be alive than to live like that. But if those people do come to you and they repent, what do? Forgive. Okay, so let's talk about the difference now. We're called to live in the position of forgiveness, all right? The position of forgiveness. And I think these are already pre-written, right? Are these already in your notes? Can I get a yes? Okay, so there you go. I gave you less fill in the blanks. You're welcome. All right, so you can just read these later. When you're living in the position of forgiveness, this is what it means. It means that you have a heart willingness and readiness to forgive, right? To forgive somebody. That you have this settledness. You're being settled and predetermined to forgive. That love and obedience are the driving factors of you wanting to forgive somebody, right? This idea of the position of forgiveness as Christ followers, just in this passage, is like we are already supposed to be in our hearts and minds, ready to forgive the moment anybody comes and asks for it. It should be our disposition as Christ followers, forgiving people, right? And so we are challenged by this word, because there's this teaching in this Luke 17 where he's teaching them, this is how you do it, and so be ready to do it. Be ready when it happens that you have already predetermined, I know I'm already going to be a forgiving person. If somebody asks, I already know that I'm going to walk into it out of obedience and out of love for the other person. I'm going to forgive. Does that make sense? You're ready. Some of us aren't ready to forgive other people because we didn't do what we talked about last week or the week before. We have these undealt with wounds, and those undealt with wounds then splash over onto other people, right? That whenever this person comes and they sin against me in a specific way, and maybe they don't even realize they're doing it, it reminds us of that wound that happened way back then that gets pricked, and we're already on attack or protection mode. So no matter what they come, even if they didn't realize they were sinning, you say, you hurt me. And they're like, I didn't even realize that. You aren't in a position or readiness to forgive because you haven't forgiven. Does that make sense? I know so many people, that's how they live. And so it requires you to go through that journey of healing in that wound of that thing that you haven't forgiven in the past so that you can be better positioned to forgive in the future, to be ready. Like this, the position of forgiveness. So some of you need a help in that process. And we've talked about here at New Hope, we have counselors, we have helper. Like, we want to help you get there, right? If you need to do that, so that you're not carrying that into every other relationship. Because what you end up doing is saying, here's my wound and my hurt. It's right here in front of me. Just don't touch this one. How are you doing? Good. How are you doing? Good. And it's like you're waiting for somebody to poke that thing, right? It's like, That's difficult. We need to live as Christ followers by Christ's word here in a position of forgiveness, a heart, willingness, and readiness. If somebody comes, I'm ready. I'm ready. Last week, two weeks ago, she shared a very, personal story about her relationship with her father. And, to date, there has never been a will you forgive me conversation from him. But for her, there's an absolute readiness if that day were to ever come. There's a difference between the position and readiness and then the action of actually giving that forgiveness to somebody else, okay? All right, so let's talk about, everybody with me on position? Yep, everybody get it? Everybody just nod your heads, I can hear you. Okay, all right. Because then once we're in the position, we can move into the action of forgiveness. This is when you actually forgive somebody. Because we see there's considerations to be made, just as Jesus was teaching in Luke 17, he gave a process of forgiveness. He gave the action of what it looked like, right? And here's what he said. Forgiveness is given after there's been conviction of that sin and repentance of that sin. If somebody comes and you're ready to forgive them, but they have no conviction of sin, they're like, I didn't do anything wrong to you. I didn't hurt you. They're not ready to receive the action of forgiveness. You're ready to give it. You're free from that tension. They're not. They're still on the chain, right? They should still have guilt. They should still walk with some shame, and it will cause conflict in that relationship because they're walking with not humility but pride. I didn't do anything wrong. You just need to deal with it. I'll go there now. Have you ever had somebody say, I'm sorry, but it's not my fault? That's a bunch of BS. All right, so like that is, oh, really? You have nothing, okay. Those are the people you want to be like, I have a millstone in the back of my car. I mean, Jesus said, I don't know, that's taken way out of context, all right? He didn't say to actually do that, all right? Prescription, description. He was describing something, all right? He wasn't prescribing us to do that. But forgiveness is given after they have experienced conviction of that sin in their life, and they've asked for it. They're repenting. They're saying, I don't want to do that anymore. This is all that repentance is. Repentance is turning away from that sin. It's the sin is over here. I know I did it. Repenting is, I don't want to do that. I'm turning in the opposite direction. That is the picture of repentance. When we repent, when we come to salvation, we repent with Christ, it's like, God, I know I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin. I know it's all over here. I know I'm choosing to repent and turn away from it and turn to you, God. That's that image of repentance. And we see back in Luke 17, let me get in the Wayback Machine here. Where was I? I think it's verse 3. It would be better. Yeah, that's them in the millstone. Okay. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent... There's an if. You can be ready with the position of forgiveness. They don't get to receive it until they repent. And then forgive them. Are you guys seeing that? So we missed this whole action part. They repent. They've been convicted of that sin because you've told them, this is how you hurt me. This is how you sinned against me. Then they can say, I'm sorry that that happened. Key words, will you forgive me? And then they get to be the recipients of your forgiveness. Yes, I forgive you. I'm going to talk about what it means when you say those words by the end of this message so you really understand what you're saying when you say those words, I forgive you. So there is a process to this in the giving and receiving, in the action of forgiveness. The offender asks for it. They ask for that. That's the only way they can receive it in that relationship, is if they repent and ask for it. And then you can freely give it. If they don't ask for it, it's kind of like us with God. In 1 John 8, no, what is it? 1 John, it just says 8 through 10. Is it 8, 10? No, 18, 8, okay. My notes are off. But this is what it says. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's that millstone around your neck. If we claim, oh, no, I didn't do anything. I haven't done anything. I'm actually a pretty nice person. I'm a good person. It's like baloney. We're all not good people. Like, we all have sin issues. We all struggle with stuff. It's like if we say, no, God, I don't need your forgiveness because I haven't really sinned. And he says, if that's us, if we confess our sins, though, he, Christ, is faithful and just and will do what? Forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is the work of Christ in us. This is what we receive when we start a relationship with God and we confess him as our Savior and we repent from our sin and now we're with him. That's what we're experiencing. That we are saying, I'm a sinner. You cannot receive forgiveness from God without asking for it. I need you to hear this very clearly. Some of you assume too much in your relationship with other people and with God. You assume, oh, we're good. Oh, no, God and I are good. And yet we're living in sin. And he's like, you have unconfessed sin in your life. You're walking in a way out of obedience to me, to my word, to who I am. There will be consequences in your life because of that, in your relationship with God and others. We don't receive the forgiveness from God. Even when we're saved, we can live in sin and unforgiven sin. Now that you're like, whoa, wait a minute. When we accept Christ, aren't we forgiven of all our sins? Yes. Do we stop sinning? No. I need to ask forgiveness every day of my life. God, forgive me of my sin. And especially when I know the stupid things I've done, I don't want to have any hindrances in my relationship with God. When I confess my sin to God, God, I've sinned this way. Will you forgive me? He is faithful and will forgive us like that. It's the same way relationship with other people. When they ask for forgiveness, it is given. They get the benefit of that forgiveness. You get to start to build that relationship again. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you have to create a boundary in that relationship, and that's okay too. God's dream is reconciliation, because that's his dream in our relationship with him. Okay, are you all with me? I know that like some of you are like, this doesn't sound right, but it is. We need to seek forgiveness from God and seek forgiveness from others. We need to understand that our confession, forgiveness comes not through thoughts, it comes through our words. We have to speak it out loud. There's something happens when you speak out loud that thing you've done. First off, it starts losing its power in your life the moment you speak it out loud. Because now you brought it from dark into light. Right? When you speak it out loud, it then allows that relationship, if it's a person, to now deal with that. How are we gonna deal with this confession? Are you gonna forgive me? And sometimes when we've done it, they may not forgive you. They may not be a Christ follower. You know, they just may be a jerk. They may be the millstone person. I don't know, but your job as a Christian is to seek it. If they give it or not, now that's on them. Or vice versa. If somebody comes to you, we know as a Christ follower, we're already positioned and ready to give it if they have come and asked for forgiveness of it. It comes by your words and your confession in a relationship with God and a relationship with others. This is the practical step of actually walking into the action of forgiveness. All right. Where am I going from here? Let's talk about what forgiveness is and what it is not then, okay? Because this is where we get confused a lot of times. I'm trying to clarify everything and to wrap this thing up. Verse 10 was, if we claim to have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Whoa, okay. I'll just stop there. So that's deep right there. It's like, if you pretend you're not a sinner, but you want to be saved, he's like, you don't know me. You don't know my word. You don't know who I am. That's everything I've done is to forgive you. So if you don't think you've sinned, you just keep doing your thing, is what he's saying. You're probably not a Christ follower if you think you're perfect. Because it takes confession of sin and understanding you needed forgiveness from God from the beginning for you to start that relationship with him. There's only two positions between you and God, and that's pride or humility. That's it. There's nothing in the middle. Either you think you are who you are and you can save yourself, or you realize who you are and you can't do a thing to save yourself. It's pride or humility. Same thing in relationships. This is the big killer in every relationship, pride or humility. Are you going to choose to be humble, ready to forgive? Are you going to choose to humble and confess your sin? Are you going to choose? Are you going to be boastful and proud? I want to protect myself. You poked a wound. I don't want anybody to poke you. And then it becomes all about you. Pride and humility. This isn't my sermon notes, but this is good stuff. All right, forgiveness. Forgiveness is modeled after God's forgiveness for us. That's the first one. Forgiveness is modeled after God's forgiveness for us. We've already talked about this quite a bit. I needed to start here, though, again here. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is from Jeremiah 31, Old Testament prophecy of what God was going to do. Then through Christ, we experience, quoted back in Hebrews 8 and Hebrews chapter 10, where he says, now it has been done. It is Christ who has allowed the way for all of our wickedness and all of our sin to be forgiven. And he says, he'll remember their sins no more. We have been forgiven. Amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for fulfilling it all and for giving us a way to be forgiven. Because we would all stand condemned if it weren't for Christ. And I don't want to stand condemned. I want to stand forgiven. And I'm grateful that we have been modeled after God for what he's done for us, that we can learn how to forgive others, okay? Now, some people take this passage, though, and then they take it out of context. Have you ever heard the term, oh, you just need to forgive and forget? Have you ever heard that before? Yeah, that's a bunch of baloney, all right? If somebody's really, really wounded you, how easily can you forget that wound? You can't, right? It'll be a part of who you are until you get to see Jesus again, and you're fully healed. We take this out of context. We think, well, isn't that what God does for us? He forgives us, and then he forgets all our sin. Let me clarify that, okay? I do not think the God who created all things, who knows all things, who sees all things, every piece about his character is capable of forgetting anything. He doesn't have a task list that he writes down every morning saying, what am I doing today? It's not within his ability to actually forget something. Okay? So I want you to say, forgiveness is not, it's not forgetting, but it's choosing not to remember. There's a difference. Right? Go back to that verse. And I will remember their sins no more. God has made a choice to forgive all of our wickedness and to not count it towards our record. He's choosing not to remember it. He's choosing, it's in the books, but it's already covered, right? To forget is very passive, right? Like if I forget something, it means I wasn't being intentional. I was like, well, I forgot about that. And even if it's a wound or somebody hurt me, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot they did that, you know? Like, I'm grateful that for Nikki, we had a conversation, and it's like, we forgot what I got her for Christmas, and then we remembered, darn it. Like, we remembered, oh, yeah, it was, I got you an alarm clock. Let's forget that, right? This year I'm going to do great, all right? So this is very passive. Forgetting is a passive thing, but choosing not to remember, that's active. That's saying the moment it does come back, because it will, I'm choosing to not remember. I'm choosing to say, no, that one's off the books now. That sin that person did against me, when it comes up or I bubble up in insecurities or that hurt comes back, like I'm going to choose to not remember that. I'm not going to play it out again in my head. I'm not going to take my thoughts, keep going with them. Like the moment it comes up, I'm going to do what Jim talked about last week. I'm going to take that thought captive and give it back to Jesus. I'm choosing to not remember that. Does that make sense? It's not forgetting. It's not like forgive and forget. Sometimes you need to remember because you need to create a boundary with that poisonous person in your life. You need to remember what they did to you every time they stomped on your toe, every time you got near them, over and over and over again. If you choose to forget every time that happened, the next time you go to them, what's going to happen? They're going to stomp right back on your toe again. You need to create a boundary. It's okay to remember what they did and who they are. And if they're not with Christ, it's like, I can create a healthy boundary with you because I don't want my foot stomped on every single time I come around you. That's me being wise and actually loving, because I'm going to be very unloving on you if I'm close to you, right? So sometimes you need to remember so that you don't put yourself in the circumstance again. Y'all need to hear that. It's active, choosing not to remember, choosing to release that thought in your life and give it back to Jesus. Forgiveness is lifting the burden of guilt. The moment you give it, guilt on that person gets relieved. You no longer are holding them in condemnation. You're no longer the judge with the gavel ready to pour out your judgment on them. Like, you release all of that. It's when I say I forgive you, all that's gone. You don't have to be guilty about that any longer. It's the cancellation of debt. Remember, Nikki talked about that a few weeks ago in Matthew chapter 18, I believe it was. That whole image that Jesus gave in the parable about, you know, the master forgiving the debt of somebody else. It's saying you had a debt. You owed me something because you sinned against me. I forgive you of that debt. I release you. I'm not going to hold that against you any longer, right? When you forgive, that's what you're doing. You're choosing not to remember. You're choosing to lift the burden of guilt off that person. And you're choosing to cancel that debt. It's done. It's finished. Okay? It's not easy, but that's what actual forgiveness is. I'm so grateful God has done that for us. So what is forgiveness not? So forgiveness is not, one, it's not a feeling. You don't feel your way into forgiveness. You just don't feel like forgiving him. You're never going to feel like it. Like, emotions are fickle pickles, right? Like, emotions come and go. You can be happy one second, the next second, you want to poke somebody's eye out. Like, our emotions are not the things that should dictate the quality and the content of our life. Like, our emotions are real. They've been given to us. God gave them to us. They're good. They're there for a reason, but they should not be the engine. They shouldn't be, like, on a train, right? You know, the train at the very beginning. Like, they should be more in the caboose. They're there. We experience them. They're present. But they're not the ones dictating if I'm going to forgive somebody. I just don't feel like it. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. It's an act of obedience. Even when you don't feel it. Sometimes you need to forgive first. Let the feelings follow later. Right? It's not accepting apologies. Forgiveness is not accepting apologies. Okay? I kind of hinted at that earlier. It's not like a, hey, I'm sorry, but it's not my fault. Like, hey, that's a crappy apology to begin with. But like, if somebody just comes up and they say, I'm sorry that I did that, you know, I'm sorry. And that's how they say it. What are they trying to get out of that? They're trying to not feel guilty anymore. That's all. That's all they're trying to do. They're not really thinking about you or what they did to you, or they're just trying to be like, are we cool now? Okay, bro, cool. I'm sorry that happened. And that's it. And you're like, okay, I accept your apology. That's not forgiveness. Because there's actually nothing really that happened there, except one person just trying to not feel as bad, and the other person's like, well, I guess I can let it go. But really, you're not going to let it go. You're still going to hold on to that and wait until it happens again. Y'all with me? There's nothing in the Bible that says you need to apologize to other people, or when people apologize, just be like, it's okay, bro. It's okay, sis. Whatever. No big deal. Like, that's so superficial. That's why I'm saying the words that come out of your mouth matter when you're seeking for or giving forgiveness. I'm going to teach you how to do it in just a minute. It's not just accepting apologies and just being like, I'll just brush it off. Forgiveness is not forgiving God. This is a big one a lot of people wrestle with. God's done some bad things in my life. He's hurt me, and he's done things that I don't agree with. I just can't forgive God. Okay, where do I start with this one? I'll start here. God is incapable of sin. He may choose to do things we don't like or agree with. He may choose to allow things in our life that we don't like. But in any of those circumstances, he will never do anything wrong or sin against you or me or anybody else. He is incapable in his perfection, his holiness, his omnipresence, you know, everything of who God is. And so for us to say, I can't forgive God, what we're saying is something about God that isn't who God is. You can't forgive God. You're right, because he did nothing wrong. Now, some of you right now, and maybe you're watching this online, you're like, but he did a lot of things to me. I'm going to be very careful with my words. I'm pretty sure it wasn't God. We live in a broken world with broken people who make broken choices, and we experience crap in this life. Sometimes it happens to us, and God didn't want it in our life. It was never God's intent for that thing to happen. He wasn't up there planning it. He wasn't up there saying, oh, I can't wait to let this one happen to him. Like, that's not who God is. Yet that's the way we treat him. There's some things that happen in our lives that are just a matter of fact because there's sin in this broken world. And instead of us blaming God, I'm telling you, your fists are not long enough to reach heaven. And he doesn't want to be, that's not what he does. He sits there like this. Come here. I saw that. I don't agree with that. I did not want that in your life. And yet we're trying to get to a state where we can forgive God. It's not going to happen. You're going to wrestle with that the rest of your life until you see him face to face. Forgiveness is not forgiving God. He does not sin and is incapable of needing to ask for our forgiveness. And, next level, it's also not forgiving yourself. I think I talked about this week one, just very briefly, that people say, I just can't forgive myself for what I did. Like, you feel really guilt about sin, something you did. It's like, I just can't forgive myself for doing that. I just can't forgive myself. You're right, and I'll just tell you, you're right, you cannot. You will never be able to forgive yourself for that thing. Because that's not in the scriptures anywhere that talks about us forgiving ourselves for something. Because I can't say, Tim, will you forgive Tim for what Tim did? Yes, I forgive you. Oh, I don't believe that you forgive me. Well, I did forgive you. Now we go see a counselor, right? So now we got some issues. Like, we're not able to do that. What we are able to do is receive and believe and accept all the forgiveness we've already received from Christ alone. When we live in a position of forgiveness that we've already given, that's what we need to learn how to live into. Not forgiving ourselves, but receiving and truly accepting the forgiveness God has already given you. Okay? Y'all with me? So it's not forgiving yourself. And you may need to go on a journey to really mind those things out. I'm not saying that you aren't struggling with things. You can struggle with things, and you can even struggle with those questions. But don't do it alone. Do it with somebody who already knows God, knows his word, and wants to help you. Forgiveness is not exempting from consequences. Once you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that they're free of, like, the consequences from what they did, right? If somebody murdered somebody, it's not like, you know, the family comes and we forgive them for what they did. You're still going to jail. Like, you still did something wrong, and you're going to experience what you should experience because of the thing you did that was wrong. Like, there are consequences to every choice we make. Forgiving somebody does not relieve them from the consequences of that sin. Like I said earlier, that consequence of that sin may be, I need to create a boundary in my relationship with you. And that's just the consequence. Like, I love you, I forgive you, but we're not going to have a relationship any longer. That's a consequence. You sinned against me this way, and that was actually illegal. I can forgive you. I can release you from the guilt in our relationship. I can release you, and I can say that debt is canceled between us. But between you and the judge, that's on you. On him. And between you and God, that's between you and God. That's not me. They will still experience consequences from the sin. And it's not unconditional. Okay? This one's like, but didn't we say it was conditional? Like, if they come seven times and repent, you come and forgive them? Yes. They're humble, they come, they ask for it, we're supposed to give it to them. But it doesn't mean I forgive you and now we'll just go back to normal. Everything's going to be the same again. No, there might be some conditions to this forgiveness. I forgive you, but this is what it's going to look like now. There can be conditions on that. The forgiveness can be real and true and given, but now there's some conditions in our relationship that need to change. Okay. Is everybody, okay, we all together? Okay, I know, like, I'm just teaching, okay? Where am I in my notes? So, how to do this. How do we do it? Okay. The process of forgiveness. So how do you actually do this? I've had to teach people how to do this. Being a pastor, you think, life's all easy peasy for pastors. It's really not. It's not. And there's people sin against, me all the time, and it's like, okay, God. Some people never ask for forgiveness, and they don't think they did anything wrong, and I just have to release those people to God, right? Like, there's this process. If they will never come and ask for it, at that point, I could play out the scenario back in my head. I can be like, man, but that hurt. That was really painful. And they're never going to come back. They're never going to, like, okay, God, here's what I know in the Bible. You say, vengeance is yours, declares the Lord. It's like, you got something more creative than I could ever come up with, so I'm going to let you deal with them. That's releasing that person to God's judgment, and it's finished, right? There have been other people who have then tried to reconcile stuff with me and have had to sit down with him, and they say, I shouldn't have done this way. I shouldn't, and they start, whatever the circumstance was. I'm not giving you a specific, but whatever that circumstance was. And then I had to, as a pastor, teach them how to do this in that moment because they didn't understand the weight of what happens. So this is how you go through this process of forgiveness. Back to Luke 17, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. So if somebody's sinning against you, you go to them and you rebuke them. You don't do it. You do it patiently. You do it kindly. You do it with a hope of reconciliation. You do it with a hope of humility, right? You're not going in with a fight in mind. You're going in saying, okay, I don't know if they understand how they're sinning against me. So when you go and rebuke them, you would say something like this. And I'm just going to throw a name out there. So this is a pretend name. Okay. I'm going to say Bill. I don't think there's any Bills. Is there a Bill in the room? If there's a Bill in the room, it's not you. All right? So you say, Bill, you have been sinning against me. Every time you come up to me, you always say something bad about me. And every time you come around me, I don't even want to talk to you. And this is how you keep treating me. Did I yell? I just explained exactly what I'm experiencing in that relationship. I'm not judging. I'm not pointing fingers. You do it, and you have to communicate it very clearly. This is how you're sinning against me, and this is what I'm experiencing. Okay? Now, they have a chance to respond, and this is where you just listen. You don't protect. You don't point finger. You just listen. Because one of a few things might happen. One, they might say, I didn't realize I was doing that every time I come around you. Or they may actually just start doing exactly what you just said. I don't do that. You're so stupid. Why do you think that? Right? Like maybe they just come right in and start doing the thing that you just said. And then you say, you're actually doing it right now. And so you show them, this action that you're doing to me right now is exactly what I'm talking about. You're sinning against me with your attitude and your tone. Now, if they continue to justify themselves, you realize we're not going to get to a point of repentance and forgiveness in this conversation, right? So it's okay at that moment to be like, okay, I see that you don't understand what I'm trying to say. I really don't have anything else to say, so maybe we can talk another time. And you just end it, you get up, and you leave. That's okay to do that. Some of you are like, well, that sounds mean. No. You're protecting yourself. You're not letting a fool control your life, your emotions, your relationship, because that is what that person is responding to. Okay? So you can go back and say, I'm going to have an attitude of forgiveness, but if they choose not to, now it's on them. Okay? Y'all with me? Now let's go to scenario two. Okay? Scenario two is you do that, you say that, this is how you do, and then they respond this way. I didn't realize I was doing that every single time. And they may ask you a question, or one or two questions, like, so when I do this or when I do that, and you just affirm, yes, or no, that's not what I'm talking about. So they understand. Now you can say, I want to forgive you, but you need to ask me. It's okay to direct the conversation, because people don't know how to do this, and I've had to do this with people. And so they may say, will you forgive me? If that's where they stop, my next question is, for what? Because if they can't then answer, will you forgive me for, and then tell you how they sinned against you, they haven't experienced They haven't experienced conviction, and they're not actually repenting. They're just trying to get free from the guilt, and that's it. So, will you forgive me? Okay, for what? Will you forgive me for saying these words and always being negative and judging you? Okay, now we're being specific. So you see humility in that conversation, right? And then you can say, yes, I forgive you for that. And now the action of forgiveness has been given. Now for some of you, you've never experienced that ever in your entire life. Most of you, actually. Because we're not taught how to do this. You don't teach your kids how to do this. You just, like with kids, it's like they're fighting. They're like, hey, say you're sorry. Say you're sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, now go do something else. It's like, no, they're just trying to get free of guilt. That's it. That's all that kid's trying to do. Like, you have to teach your kids how to do it. No. Sorry for what? What did you do? I'm sorry that I, Okay, was that right or was that wrong? It was wrong. Okay, so you need to ask for forgiveness. Will you forgive me for And when the sibling says, yes, I forgive you, and you've taught them, that sibling knows when they say, I forgive you, I'm not bringing this up again. This is the moment you say, I forgive you. This is what you're saying. I'm not going to bring this up again. I'm not going to hold this against you. I'm not going to be ready for when you do it again so I can point it out. I release you from the guilt of it. And our relationship is right. That's what you're saying. Do I have a note for that? I don't know if I have slides. I don't. But that's what you're saying when you say, I forgive you. I release you from the guilt of this, I cancel the debt, I'm not going to think about this any longer, I'm not going to play out the scenario in my head anymore, I'm not going to point it back out to you when you do it again, I'm releasing you from it. Now, I've had to have conversations with people that I had to teach them. I say, now I'm going to say, yes, I forgive you for that. And when I say it, this is what it means. And I say, it means I'm not going to bring it up again, we're not going to talk about this anymore, I'm not going to think about this, I'm not going to go talk to anybody else about this. We're done. Let's move forward. Now, do you think that other person feels more released from the guilt? Absolutely. They're like, what? That's what that means? Yeah, that's what I forgive you means. When God said, I forgive you, I will no longer think about this. I'm choosing not to remember. I will not hold it against you any longer. It's off the books. I will not bring it back up again at a later time because I choose to not remember that. We're good. When God says, I forgive you, it's the same thing when we do with others. That is what we need to choose how to do. Last passage as we wrap this up. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, those are powerful words. He chose you. What? So we need to receive and accept that. Like, he chose you. He wanted to be with you. He wanted a relationship with you. Holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with these things, with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. These are the fruit of the Spirit. This is what we put on as Christ followers. Bear with each other. It's in there. Bear with each other. And forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive how much? As the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on what? Love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. All of this forgiveness conversation is wrapped up and bound up by God's love for us and our love for each other. It goes back to the great commandment, love God, love others. When we choose to walk in that as followers and disciples of Christ, this is who we become. And this is how we live. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. It never returns void. It always goes out, does what it wants to, and your Spirit works in our hearts and lives and brings conviction of sins and sets us free from things. And this series, I'm praying that that's what has been happening for some people, that they're choosing to start the journey and process of forgiveness in their life. I pray this morning, God, as we talked about nuts and bolts of this, on how to do it, that you would help us to actually live this way as Christians. We should be some of the most forgiving people on the planet because of how much we've been forgiven. some of the most patient, loving, kind, gentle, caring people. Because that's what you clothe us in with your Spirit. So often we ignore your Spirit. So often we choose to let our wounds, our flesh, our sin control our actions. And just lead us from that and lead us more into you. And just lead this time of response, God. I just want to take some time between you and God just to process, you know, what you heard this morning. And so, you know, as we take just this time of response, I just have two questions. The first one is for anybody in this room that has been holding unforgiveness, because the only path that leads to is bitterness. It leads to pain. It leads to self-protection. Like, there's not good things that unforgiveness leads your life towards. And maybe those are the things you're actually experiencing right now. I just want to encourage you, and you wrestle with God with this a little bit today. Who do you need to go, or what circumstances do you need to go to forgive? And start that journey, start that process, one brick at a time. It may be something big, and usually it is those things that are big that we need help in, taking one brick of forgiveness until eventually that whole wall is gone and you're free from it. I would encourage you to start that process today. We have counseling available here at New Hope, and it's biblical counseling, meaning it's not psychology. Like, we want to help you understand God and walk through some biblical truth to go on this journey. Maybe if you're in a small group, you can walk through that process with your small group. And maybe some trusted people. Maybe you have a mentor, or you need to find just a one-on-one mentor in your life to help go on that journey with you. I would encourage you to find that person. Make a decision and a commitment today to start the process of forgiveness. Now, some of you might be on the other end of that, actually. Some of you might be carrying guilt because you're the sinner. You're the one that's hurt other people. You're the one that has done things in your life that you know there's unforgiveness, there's brokenness, there's a situation that you're the one that did it. As a Christ follower, we're called to go seek out and ask for forgiveness. We're called to go be the ones that confess and make it right. And you can live in that position of forgiveness. I would say figure out how you can do the action of. Who do you need to go to? Who do you need to have that conversation with? And maybe it's a situation that you need somebody with you to act as a mediator in that conversation. And that's okay too. A trusted person that can be there in that conversation just to make sure that both people are willing to listen and be heard and go through that process. But I would say if that's you, there's no better time to ask for forgiveness than today. And maybe for you and some of us in this room, we need to actually use our words today in our relationship with God and confess sin to him. That we need to remove and release any hindrance and barrier in our relationship with God. If there's something that you continue living in sin over, or a way that you know it's like, nah, I know that's off with God. Today, you need just to confess it to God and say, God, will you forgive me of that? His promise is the moment we confess it, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. Immediately. His answer will be yes. Don't you wish every relationship was like that? That's how it is with God. And I'm grateful. And so those are my challenges. Get right with other people and get right with God. All right, let's wrap up in prayer. So God, whatever we're wrestling with today, I pray that we would take those actions, that we would not just live in the position of forgiveness, but we do want that, but to live in the action of forgiveness where we give it and we receive it and we live in the freedom on the other side of it. If we need to go and process this with another person, bring that person to mind right now. Whoever it is right now, by the power of your Spirit, bring that to mind to anybody in this room that needs it. For those that need to go ask for forgiveness, I pray that right now you start tearing down that wall and that barrier, that you would, by the power of Christ, the blood that we're already covered and forgiven by the Holy Spirit's work, that you would start the conviction and the healing in that process. Free us so we can live in freedom. And help us walk in a right relationship with you. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for letting us be in your presence and worship and being in your word. We're grateful that we get to gather together. And it's in Christ's name that we pray alone. Everybody said amen. Amen. Amen.